Show.
...840-1360-97.5 WTAQ News Talk Sports. All right, it was a busy, this is interesting, it was a busy Friday news day after this show. And Monday is always where, you know, I've watched all the Sunday talk shows, all the stuff going on in the state. So there's going to be a ton of stuff that I'm going to try to pack into the show from 9 to 11. I'm going to cover two Green Bay-centric topics in just a moment here. I do want to start, though, with, I don't know if this qualifies as breaking news, and it is, but it isn't. You'll see, I think, what I mean in a moment here. Mary Burke now has a primary challenger for governor. Okay, that's breaking news, unless the candidate is a joke. And State Representative Brett Halsey is a joke. So you see what I mean? That somebody is challenging her is breaking news. That the somebody's a nobody who's kind of a crackpot joke kind of takes the wind out of that breaking news sail, if you know what I mean. This has been reported just in the last half hour. He says he plans to reinvest more than blah, 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 blah. He really is an outlier. And it's not, in my opinion, it is not a credible threat to the person who has been anointed by the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and its chair, Mike Tate, to be the nominee. I don't think Halsey is even substantial enough to make her spend any real money. Now, I suppose there's an upside here because, for conservatives, for Republicans, because it shows that there is some discontent with her from the liberal base, I guess. I mean, you do have, there's going to be a percentage of the liberal base that will be excited that somebody is challenging her. I don't consider this a serious threat. I consider it a less serious threat than Kathleen Vinaut would have been. That's my opinion. The only way, look, they have invested in her. She's been in this for months now. She's not going anywhere. Although I do, here's what I believe. And again, this is semi-informed speculation. I have just a modicum of insight from the left on this. There are those who are in abject panic over her. And here's who they are. People who would donate the maximum. She came out last month and said she cannot self-fund her campaign. That was shocking news to a lot of liberals because they thought that's who they had, was a female Ron Johnson or Herb Cole or Eric Hovde. I throw Hovde in there even though he didn't win his race because his money showed how you can come from complete obscurity and compete. They are panicked over her. She hasn't shown herself to be a substantial candidate, and those who would donate a lot of money are very, very, not all of them, but some of them are very, very nervous about her. I can tell you there is one person who traditionally donates a lot of money to Democratic causes who thinks she's a joke. I can tell you that. And that would-be Democratic donor believes she's going to lose by double digits. Oh, people are already asking that already, huh? People already asking if they should cross over and vote for Admiral Halsey. He's really a goofball. In the Democratic primary. I never encourage that. And in my opinion, I don't know that I can think of one race, one local assembly race in Wisconsin about 20 years ago where it did make a difference, where I believe crossover was a factor. In the primary, there's really only going to be in Wisconsin one major Republican primary, and that is in the 6th Congressional District, where Joe Leibom is going to enter the race tomorrow. And there may be another candidate to come in that race. So, the people in the 6th aren't going to have that luxury in that one district. I'm trying to think of other areas. Those represented by Mike Ellis. There's going to be a big Republican primary there in Mike Ellis's district. And I'm trying to think around the state where there would be others. I don't think that's going to be, I think there are too many pockets around the state where there are going to be big Republican primaries. And remember, you can't vote in both. If you vote in a Republican primary, you can't vote in a Democratic primary. It's amazing. Do you know every election, people still forget that? And they try to go back and forth, back and forth. You have to vote in one or the other. Once you vote in a Democratic primary, you cannot vote in a Republican primary. So that, I would say, is probably not going to be a factor. Speaking of Mary Burke and the gubernatorial election, earlier this month, the Green Bay Press Gazette, and I'm calling them by their name because I'm referring to a story that they did, the Green Bay Press Gazette pointed out that Governor Scott Walker is making very frequent visits to the Green Bay area. Why is he doing that? Because he knows how important the Green Bay Fox Valley area is to his political fortunes. By the way, he's also doing a lot of central Wisconsin, Wausau area visits as well. Now, I said, half joking after the recall, Scott Walker saw some of the biggest growth from 2010 to 2012 in Brown, Marathon, and Sheboygan counties. Those are the three counties that have radio stations where this show airs from 9 to 11. Now, I took a little credit for that. The reality, though, I'll take some credit for that. But the reality is Scott Walker understands how important upstate is to his fortunes. And what he does is, there's an old expression in sales, fish where the fish are. Don't just advertise or don't just promote everywhere. Target. Scott Walker knows enough to feed the fish where the fish are. He knows the areas that are important to him. And I think this is, and by the way, I mentioned this because he's going to be here again today. He'll take part in the family care expansion announcement today in Green Bay. He understands the importance. That's why he's here a lot. I mention this because Mitt Romney failed miserably at this in 2012. He did not come on this show. His idiot campaign staff didn't see the importance of coming on this show. And I think part of the problem was his state chairs were from the Milwaukee area, and they thought Milwaukee media and talk radio would, that's all they needed, the myopic view that they have. He didn't campaign up here. He didn't come on the one show that from 9 to 11 covers most of the northern part of the state. I don't know if it would have made any difference. I really don't. But he completely ignored upstate. It is a lesson for whoever the candidate is in 2016. But Scott Walker, when he talks about Obama-Walker voters, he knows where to get them up here. All right, something else. Item two. We've not heard a lot of conversation about Walmart since City Council in March basically took a vote that said we don't want Walmart in downtown Green Bay and the Larson property. I will tell you that Walmart has not gone away. I will tell you that my understanding is Walmart is retooling, and with some new faces on the city council, you will see Walmart come back with this. They have not given up. Now, I don't know what they're planning. I have not had any conversations with them. But being pretty confident that they're not going to give up, I want to share something with you. I want to share two somethings with you. As you know, Mayor Schmidt keeps hoping and praying that some other development is going to come there. And when he came on this show and debated this with me, he pointed to other successes in downtown development. Okay? And it looks like we know what we're doing. Really, does it? Let's examine those. Now, first, let's start with the costs that Walmart is willing to eat. Debt owed by On Broadway Incorporated and guaranteed by the city, which comes due June 2014, $3 million. Walmart covers that. $500,000, demolition of on-site improvements. $100,000, asbestos abatement. $1 million, grading, dewatering, compaction, stormwater management, footing installation. $600,000, installation of storm sanitary water. $1.1 million, remediations due to prior import of fill and rail yard operations. $10 million, cost to develop Walmart's improvements. $1 to $2 million, cost to develop OBI outlot. Total cost, $17.3 million to $18.3 million, all on Walmart's back. $7 to $8 million of that, some other developer is going to want help with. Zero in government incentives from Walmart. Zero. $11 to $21 million in new assessed value. $250,000 to $500,000 a year in additional annual property taxes. 250 to 300 new jobs. And don't listen to the lies. Those would be new jobs. Now, Jim Schmidt rejects this and proudly looks at the other developments. Well, we've done a lot of good things. Okay. $10 million investment by Walmart and that other $7, $8 million they would pick up and the city wouldn't have to use TIF or nothing, anything like that. Let's look at some of the recent developments. Associated Bancorp, 433 Main. Private investment, $4 to $6 million. City investment, $1.54 million. Astor Place Condos, Vedder Dank, failed for lack of financing. City Deck Landing, T-Wall Enterprises. Private investment, about $10 million. City investment, $2.5 million. TIF incentive, possible forgiveness of $300,000 purchase price if assessed value hits $10 million. Clarion Hotel. Draft deal term sheet calls for city to sell site for $2.7 million and AHM Incorporated to invest $4 million. City retains air rights. Developer is expected to request TIF assistance. City to resurface parking lot area. No contract yet. Hotel Northland. Franz Hobart LLC. $20 to $25 million. City investment. $2.5 million plus, $2.5 million plus TIF incentive, depending on amount of federal tax credits received. RDA will donate lot north of hotel. Other government investment. $3 million in federal tax credits, $500,000 WEDC grant. By the way, in the City Deck Landing, a $500,000 brownfield redevelopment grant. Are you getting the picture here? Metro Apartment Development. Dermont Property Investments. Private investment, $17.6 million. City investment, $2.9 million TIF incentive. Possible forgiveness of purchase price if assessed value hits $11.5 million and a possible brownfield grant. Still owned by the city is the status on that one. Port Plaza. That failed, in case you missed that little news item. Prestige Park Towers. Developer could not get financing. Failed. Developer was denied city assistance. Schreiber Foods, the big victory downtown on the Old Port Plaza site, right? Schreiber Foods, private investment, $50 million. Estimated city costs of $14.6 million for site acquisition, repayment of mall debt, the clearance, building refacing, street reconstruction, and gap financing. $12.4 million TIF incentives. So that's $26 million on a $50 million investment. Up to $250,000 operating expense credit per year to cover annual property tax differential between Howard and Green Bay. Other government investments, $2.6 million market tax credits. Status open. That's a very important point here. All of these victories, now start adding up all of the city TIF money there. $2 million, $1.5 million, $2.5 million, $2.9 million. Of course, the Schreiber one is huge, $12.4 million TIF, $14.6 site acquisition. Are those really victories compared to what Walmart is proposing? How do those redevelopment victories compare to one that you're looking at a total cost of $17.3 to $18.3 million? If this is any other of Jim Schmidt's usual victories, $7 to $8 million go on the city's back. So now look at the history of Jim Schmidt's redevelopment victories downtown and ask yourself how much it's going to cost if he gets his way on this one. How much will the city cough up? You know it's $3 million right off the bat. How much is the city going to cough up for some redevelopment that won't offer the return on investments in jobs, tax base, and peripheral development that Walmart will? Walmart isn't going away because they know they have a profitable situation there if they get this store. I hope this gets done. If you pay taxes in the city of Green Bay, you should be spitting blood right now at this. We've got a ton of stuff to get to, including the treatment a Wisconsin story got on a news network Friday. It's 8:56.